time for Blindly Obvious.
Welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm your host, Tyler, with my co-host, Jeff, and today we are on the hot-button topic conversation of whose life is it anyway? And I know certainly with the recent decisions that have been made within the Supreme Court, this has everybody feeling some kind of way. And we're going to talk about life in general and where it starts, where it begins, whose life is it really, and see where else we go. Jeff?
Where to begin? As everybody listening has a strong opinion, even if they have no opinion at all, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, everyone does. I think maybe a starting point is what makes life valuable? Like, remember that movie In Time with Justin Timberlake, where time was
The currency.
Yeah, the currency.
And pay for all things in
everything
time.
Everything is paid in time.
Whether it be a cup of coffee, your new house.
Everything.
You're working 40 hours a week, basically getting paid in time.
Yeah, we've come so far in technology that you basically don't age anymore. But once your clock runs out, you're dead. You're done. Your time's up, right?
Metaphorically speaking, though, what an awesome concept. Because I think as we get older, we start to see, obviously, our time is shortening. And start to think of, you know, how we want to spend our time, whatnot, a little more valuably. And realize just how valuable, you know, life really is as we near having our own children. That's, you know, the phase I'm in right now, but just how fast it goes by. You know, it feels like my daughter was just born yesterday and she's turning 5 this week. So, I mean, it's just a very precious, valuable entity that obviously we're all going to run out of at some point.
Well, let's put it in this category. This could be a long podcast. If today, let's say NASA came out and they said, look, we're really sorry, but a planet killer's on the way and we have 1 month. 1 month, and this ginormous asteroid that we cannot move, we cannot break up, is going to hit the Earth, and it's going to destroy everything. You have a month. What would you do in that month? Like, would your life change and how and what you did?
I think, honestly, maybe if it, you know, were really, really going to happen.
No, it's going to happen.
Okay.
Like, I mean, there's no doubt.
Let's pack up and take the family on a 30-day sabbatical.
Okay.
Travel the world, end out our last days.
So would
have the good Lord guide us around the earth.
There you go. Would you care about all the things that you have yet to buy?
I don't think so. No, probably not. Wouldn't be the most pressing issue of the day.
I find that interesting. You know, one of the big things that we spend our money on is where we live and, you know, our homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just talked about leaving your home.
Sure. You're right. When you have 30 days, I better go do something else.
I better get out of here. You know, it's isn't it funny how it shifts your value system?
Absolutely.
And I only say that to kind of jar everybody to say, look, you think you understand yourself and you think you are living in the value system that you really have. But in reality, most of us, when we're absent of scarcity, we don't really understand what we value most.
That's a great point. And, you know, speaking for myself on this issue of life, I was always somebody before having children that was didn't necessarily agree with abortion, but thought, you know, well, if somebody's in, you know, a circumstance of, you know, need, or they've been raped, or, you know, they're having an ectopic pregnancy, or all kinds of different, you know, situations that could pop up along that. You know, I always believe the circumstances of, well, you know, if you were in a life-altering situation, why would you not want to have the choice? And then, you know, I had my own children, and you're exactly right. Like, those thoughts and values have shifted completely when you can hold and embrace your own children and know the feeling of, like, life and creating and what it's like. I mean, it's awesome. It's an awesome.
I think I've never yet heard a good argument. I've heard an emotional argument. I've heard personal testimony. I've heard illogical arguments for why a woman should have the right to kill another person. I've heard that, but I have yet to hear a good argument. On the flip side, for pro-life, I have heard unbelievable good arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And what, again, everyone's got to understand, this is not a matter of being logical and having a good argument to help people see the value of life. The people who want to kill children in the womb, in the end, what it really is about is convenience, feelings, wants, and demands, because they are so selfish. They never, I'm sorry to say it, they never fully stepped out of the 5-year-old tantrum. And they want what they want, and they want it now. And they, and in the end, their need, want, and desires supersede yours. They're the focal point, not you, including that child.
And I think that there are also people out here, you know, who feel this way or are pro-choice, who haven't yet, kind of like what I just said, who still buy into the story they're given on the ectopic pregnancies. And but the viability of life is so much greater now with the, you know, advancements that we've made within medicine that I think now we don't really have the same issues we had 20 or 30 years ago in the sense of life being in real danger on a grand scale.
I think they call that a red herring when it's not even a real situation. But the even way back when technology wasn't that great, they always sought to save the mother's life when both mother and child were in danger. And I think probably the biggest reason why was because the mother already had the greatest possibility of surviving the situation because she's got an immune system. She's more apt to be able to tell the doctors what hurts and those things, whereas the child cannot, right? Mm-hmm. But it's always been that way. In fact, and again, going back to the reasons you gave, those are rarely ever the reasons for an abortion. It's almost always, in the end, for convenience.
Yep, and you're right. And I mean, even in the small instances, and it's not to say that these people do not matter, because absolutely they do, have rape and whatnot, is there not contraceptive alternatives in the sense of plan B? Like if you were just immediately raped and knew for certain that you didn't want to end up with a pregnancy, I mean, isn't there other options available to make sure that you would never, that egg isn't going to implant and that there's not going to be a baby?
That child, even though that woman was raped, okay, that child is not guilty of what its father did.
That's also true.
And that child is still a person. And so two wrongs really don't make a right. We think we all agree on that, divorce of this situation. But because it's an emotional argument, we go, well, wait. For her to carry that child for 9 months would be painful for her because she has to relive the rape.
Emotional distress over and over again.
But that's not entirely true. It's not. And in fact, now listen, for a person who's unstable, who has thought processing issues, we call mental illness and those things. Mm-hmm. Does that come into play? Sure. But in the end, that's still a child.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a child. And just because it's not breathing doesn't make it less of a child. It's not a blob of tissue like we were told 20 years ago. We know through 3D scans now, this child's moving, hiccuping, playing, dancing in the womb.
And, you know, I think a thing that's really going to, you know, wake people up to this issue is, what's going on with all of the aborted baby parts after
they're selling it?
After they're out of the womb, they're sold. I mean, sometimes the babies are still alive because their organs are kept warm, so they're easier to harvest. I mean, there's some really dark and disgusting things going on with this industry, and I think it's helped in creating some scientific advancements as well through stem cell research, but at what cost are we willing to so-called advance in society?
Put it in a scenario that people can kind of wrap their mind around. If we could save a million lives today, extend their life by 200 years right now, and the cost is 100 children. We need 100 children at the age of 5. But we could save a million people and extend their life by 200 years. Is it worth it?
I mean, in my opinion, no.
Why? I mean, the reason I say no is because
what if your 5-year-old was one of the 100?
Well, wouldn't you be glad to give your child up just to help those strangers? Don't you love people?
I do love people, but I love people from a godly perspective, not a worldly perspective.
I mean, you can always have another child.
Yeah, that's the thing though. When you get to meet the unique individuals that you have, you realize once again how precious that life really is.
Let's just say it. That question, Jeff, you just asked was evil. It was.
It was.
But it was poised in goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems so selfless and I'm thinking of others. No, I'm trying to sell a product.
Well, it's almost like going back to getting a poke in your arm to help other people.
Yeah.
When the whole reason you were to get the poke in the first place was to help yourself, right?
Right. Right. I love the comedian. I forget his name. I'd give him credit if I could, but he puts that whole poke idea with a life jacket. You've got to wear a life jacket so my life jacket will work.
Yeah, it's just silly.
It's the same thing with the Sure. Oh, would I just say it? Same thing with that poke. We'll have to blurb that out of there.
But you're exactly right in the sense of they did the same thing in trying to convince. Well, you're doing good for others if you do this.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
What good are you doing for anyone if you get that?
Well, it's the same
in
argument.
In the sense of it's not doing anything for anybody but yourself.
It's the same argument for abortion. You're doing the world a favor to abort this unwanted child because they're going to be a draw on the system.
And how many since 19, what was that, 73 when this was?
Oh, boy. I don't even know the dates.
First legalized, 72 or 73, somewhere in there. How many babies do you think have actually been aborted since then?
Murdered. Let's put it in that category. How many children have been murdered? And it is, I'll just tell you, it is, when I stop and think about it in appropriate terms, not the ones that we shroud things in, don't call the child a fetus, call it a child. Mm-hmm. And don't call it an abortion, call it murder. And all of a sudden, you get a little hot. You get a little mad, don't you? And it's like...
changes the tempo a little bit.
It does. The whole temperature of the conversation just changes. And you get angry. And it's like, you know, you want to say to this person, and they can't fathom it, but you say, let's just look at your argument. In the end, what you're saying is, you don't want to have to carry this child for 9 months, which is what your body was designed to do. You don't want to do that because you find, for whatever reason, it inconvenient,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, what if society were to say, you know what, you're right. Whether you're a grandma or just a person they deem a useless eater, okay, for the sake of society and for...
World Economic Forum.
Yeah, exactly. For the greater good of the elite, the 1%, they say, you know what? These people in the world are competing for resources of what we think we need, and they're making things hard for us. And we all know that we're better than them. I mean, all people are equal, but some of us are more equal than others. And so, you know, I just think that we need to abort those fetuses that are out there breathing. And they deem these same people who are pro-choice as useless eaters and say, we want to erase you.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be for it? And they'd laugh and go, that's ridiculous. Well, is it? Because right now you feel so powerful because you have a voice and that child in the womb does not.
Well, really, you're supposed to be their voice.
Right.
And I mean, you know, that goes from when the child comes out of the womb and until they're an adult.
It never ends.
Well, yeah, you're always obviously advocating for them, but.
We were just talking to our kids about this last night. Our our boys, who are, one's a man now, they'll always be our boys. And it's hard for us to never be an advocate for them. You know, mm-hmm. it's like we're always thinking about what their needs and,
sure.
and.
Oh yeah. My parents are, I mean, they're the exact same way.
We were on vacation. There was this girl that had her eyes on our boys. And so we made sure our young men knew, you watch out for her because she's eyeing you guys and it's uncomfortable, you know, and they knew, they could see it. But yeah, you're always looking out for them. They're always your children. Right. Even when they become 18 and they're an adult, they're always your kids. And that's what love is. And that's what love does. But yes, as Christians, we are called to speak up for those who have no voice. That includes children.
And on the other end of that spectrum, I think we're kind of reaching a point to where we're starting to loosely, you know, we need to, well, you know, grandma's this age, she's lived a full life, or grandpa, he's this age. Why don't we just help him off to death?
Yeah, and listen, we could really use their house and resources. What if we didn't have to pay a pension or give them their retirement money?
All that time that they just spent contributing and working into the system that was, you know, supposed to be a benefit to them, and that's the thank you?
Well, no, their benefit is they get to have it given to somebody else. That's their benefit. And wow. And if they love people, wouldn't they do that?
That's really selfless.
Yeah, and that's, listen,
the
Grandma.
The crazy thing is you didn't even have a choice for your selflessness.
Well, no. They have a choice. They have to do it.
Oh.
It's called freedom.
Got it. Okay.
So you just do what we tell you to. It's just craziness.
So you're making a choice until it's not the one they want you to make,
no,
and
no,
then you're not free.
You have a choice. You can have any flavor ice cream you want. You want chocolate or vanilla?
How about strawberry?
No, just chocolate or vanilla, but it's your choice. You know, and so they say, do you want to volunteer or do you want us to pick you? isn't that it?
Exactly.
And it's and listen, once you put it in funny terms, everyone can get it. And mm-hmm. and again, my whole point is there's this maybe 1-2%, and I'll just call them serial killers. There is no argument you're going to make that's going to change their pro-death place where they have no love, no respect for life. They don't care. and they're outspoken and they have the microphone, and for whatever reason, the media gives them a platform. But let's stop pretending this minority represents the whole. And I'm so glad that this Roe versus Wade thing was overturned, and praise God. And I can't wait to see the other conversations we're going to have about on a number of other issues as we come back to sanity.
Sure. I also kind of think here, as people, you know, maybe somebody that's made this decision before and is out here, and they're, you know, they're stuck in the pattern of, you know, if I decide abortion's wrong, that means maybe the decision that I made was wrong. And that, you know, that doesn't mean just because you've made this decision, there's not still a seat at, you know, God's table for you. There absolutely is.
It's called redemption.
Exactly.
And yeah, listen, absolutely. If you've made that mistake, first of all, we've all made mistakes.
100%.
And listen, that's growth. But don't defend a bad decision.
And keep doubling down on it.
Yeah. In the end, it's what's wrong is wrong. And what's right is right. And even if to be right, you have to be wrong, wouldn't you rather be right? You know what I mean? So go ahead and call it out and adjust, and then become a spokesman so that others don't make the same mistake you made and go down that painful path.
Sure. I think, you know, moving forward here, we're going to get to start to hear a lot of stories of maybe people who made those decisions and have regretted it, or people who were considering doing it and made a different choice, and like the outcome of what they received as, you know, for the choices that they've made. And I think you're going to hear some really sad stories. You're going to hear some really positive stories. And I think you're right, though. The biggest key is that we are returning to sanity, waking up.
All people are valuable, whether in the womb or 95 years old. All life is valuable.
And,
every,
you know,
single one.
If we're all guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, how are we going to have liberty and the pursuit of happiness if we first don't have life? This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can check out past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We're so happy that you're here, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.